This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 38 minutes past 7 a.m. on this Friday, November 2nd. Han Joyce here on the morning run. Time now to look at global markets. Now, according to China's top leadership, its economic situation is changing, downward pressure is increasing, and that may require countermeasures from the Chinese government. So on the line now to give his perspective on China, we have Mikio Kumada, global strategist with LGT Capital Partners in Hong Kong. Good morning, Mikio. Now, Mikio, you had the statement from the Chinese top leadership earlier this week, and then yesterday it was echoed by China's vice finance minister. He pledges more tax cuts to boost domestic consumption, right? What do you make of the government's rather piecemeal approach so far when it comes to supporting economic growth?
Good morning, and thank you for having me. I think it's the right approach. It's labeled as piecemeal, but actually I think it's pretty good, targeting areas, specific areas where they see the need for growth and also perhaps an improvement in quality of consumption is the right approach. So I don't think we should underestimate the medium to longer term effects of this. I think they will work quite well. And the alternative to just go and spend in a very large way would mean that China would be overloading potentially itself with domestic risks at a time when they face, international political risks with a trade war and so forth. So one area where they could do a bit more domestically is monetary, and that would also imply if they ease significantly their monetary stance, a weaker RMB. I think that's also something to be considered and would help.
Mikio, between China's domestic deleveraging campaign and the U.S.-China trade war, which is the bigger risk for the world's second largest economy?
Well, I think right now the trade war is the bigger risk. I mean, both are risks, of course, but the trade war is the bigger one, especially if it persists and becomes permanent. And there's a good case that to some degree, at least, it is a permanent feature. That conclusion you can draw if you listen to what is being discussed in the U.S. and more generally on an international scale about the mix of engagement and pushback that the established system needs vis-a-vis what is perceived a more assertive China that's trying to carve out its own space in geopolitical affairs, so to speak. So I think that is a bigger risk if it's mishandled politically, because China, at the moment at least, doesn't have a terrible lot of friends and allies in the international system.
So Mikio, given all that you've shared with us, right, how important is that meeting between President Trump and President Xi Jinping that's coming up at the end of this month at the G20 summit over there in Argentina? You know, what do you think could be a market-friendly outcome, and is such a scenario even likely?
Yes, that's a very good question, because when it comes to the market, it's a little bit different from the pure, let's say, fundamental or political outlook. The markets have already priced in a great deal of bad stuff. If you look at valuations, for example, in the U.S., they're broadly back at levels of a couple of years ago, which is when we were coming out of the commodity slump. So a large part of the emerging world was in great difficulty. And I think that's clearly the concern, that the trade war is going to impact everyone, not just the emerging space. So what I'm saying is that the markets may actually cheer with relatively little progress. And we got one example yesterday where a simple and rather vague tweet from the U.S. president that the talks with Xi Jinping are going nicely, whatever that means, and the market rally on that. So I think it doesn't actually take much beyond, let's say, not a significant escalation beyond the levels of conflict that we know at this moment.
Mikio, over in Japan, the Bank of Japan also shared concerns over risk stemming from the U.S.-China trade war. Could we see considered intervention from major Asian central banks, such as the BOJ?
Well, Yeah, I think that's a bit too early for that. In the case of Japan, the BOJ actually said that the market correction that we saw globally is not a big deal so far. And they specifically cited the calmness and the relative calm in the Japanese yen, which, you know, in times of risk off tends to be stronger. But this time it's basically even slightly weaker, depending on which exact point you take as a reference. And so I think that we're quite a bit away from that point yet. And also specifically for Japan, the trade war, even, let's say, if there is no agreement with the U.S. and the escalation with China continues, they have signed the TPP, they have signed a deal with the EU, and they're working on a deal with on a free trade deal, on a trade agreement with the U.S. So there is enough offsetting factor. So I would say it's still too early for intervention. On the Chinese side, I do think that they need to consider monetary stimulus as well. Right now, they're saying they're keeping stance neutral. Perhaps they could do a little bit more, if only to send the right signal to markets, in addition to what they do on the fiscal side.
Well, Mikio, since we're talking about central banks, I want to get your thoughts on what the BOE, the Bank of England, announced last night as well. You got Mark Carney, Governor Mark Carney, saying that in the event of a no-deal Brexit, he's going to hike rates. I mean, does that even make sense for him to do that?
Well, it if you assume that the bank's mandate is also to keep prices relatively stable so as to limit the rise and the increase in inflation, and you consider that inflation in Britain is relatively high, it's the only country that is actually above its target, then yes, of course, that is the response they might take. Whether they will do it and to what extent they will do it is a different question, I think, because it's a huge supply shock. And that will damage the economy, which will bring down inflation by, balance at least part of the inflationary pressure. So that remains to be seen. In the case of the British pound, we may anyway be close to a bottom or already have seen the bottom because, again, a lot of the bad news is priced in and the market doesn't need a whole lot to rally. As we saw with the news flow about the potential deal that Theresa May have reached with regards to the services with the European Union.
Right. Well, we note that the Brexit deadline is just 5 months away, and possibly by next month we could see the announcement of more U.S. imposed tariffs. Plenty of global risks in the near term, and I'm sure you'll keep us posted along the way. Thank you so much for your time and your insights. That was Mikio Kumada, global strategist with LGT Capital Partners in Hong Kong. Now, in just a bit, we'll take a look at the top local business stories, so stay tuned right here to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.